Greetings, everybody, and welcome to the, this is actually the seventh round robin. I'm using a new system, and I'm going to be recording this, as you hopefully can hear and see me. It's a little intimidating to be watching yourself, so bear with me. And I'm also, I have some notes here, and I'm going to be referring to some reports on a second monitor, so I'm going to be looking off to the side. But as you know, this round robin is intended for members of the Learning Resource Center at the nurture level to have an opportunity to ask questions and to have a shared place for us to learn and benefit from each other. So I welcome your questions and topics. There's a place to chat. There's also a question and answer spot, and I've got both of those windows open on my end. So I'm going to be trying to look for both of those areas for you to enter in your questions. Obviously, you probably know I'm Robin Eichert, founder of PeopleSense Consulting. I created the Learning Resource Center as a way to get some valuable information to managers and leaders who want to improve their communication and effectiveness with their teams. So I'm thrilled to have you all here. This is an hour that I do on the second Tuesday of every month at 11 a.m. So you can put it on your calendar. With the exception of next month, I'll remind everybody at the end and send out a notice too. But in May, I'm actually going to be doing it on Monday the 9th. And I'll talk more about that at the end. So I don't see any questions coming in yet. Feel free to offer those, as I said. But in the last couple of round robins, I've made mention of some new reports that are coming out tied to the Profile XT assessment and the Profile Sales assessment, which many of you use. And really excited to say that these are available for anybody who's taken that assessment in the past. It's not just for those moving forward. Obviously, that's true. If you take the assessment now, these reports are going to be available. But these are also retroactive for anybody who's taken these two assessments. And so I wanted to show you these reports because I think that's the most effective way to do this. So I'm going to now share the screen with you, and hopefully you are able to see over here the Leadership Approach Report. So there are three reports that have been added to the mix, and these are in addition to all the other reports that are available. The interview guide, as you know, has the placement questions. The performance model comparison report is the coaching report, which has suggested ways to work with an individual. The individual report is fabulous for the candidate and or the employee to see the assessment results for themselves. And then there are other candidate matching reports, the session planning reports, the performance model report, which talks about the benchmark that's been prepared. So all those reports still are there for your use, as they always have been. But these are three new reports. They actually had been available before, but at a pretty hefty price. And, people weren't taking advantage of them for, understandable reasons. But now they're included in the one assessment price, which is fantastic, obviously. So the three reports are the Leadership Approach Report, Managerial Fit, and Team Report. And I want to walk through each of these in a little bit more detail so that you can see the additional value that you're getting out of the assessment tool. Again, be chatting in your questions. I'll be poking my visibility over there between reports. So the leadership approach report is different than, say, the performance model comparison report, because in the performance model comparison report, it's looking at the individual's results as compared to a benchmark or model for a particular position. The leadership approach report is going to be looking at the individual's assessment results, the same results, who this person is, what their strengths are, how they navigate through their day, but in relation to how they lead and interact, communicate with others. So it can be used as a very important management tool for looking at how the person will lead. And then also it's very, can be a very important professional development tool, because it's going to raise awareness for the individual about their leadership approach. We all have a unique way to lead, and that is desired and necessary. But we also recognize that not every way is effective in every situation. And that's why this information can be valuable for both the manager of the individual who's leading, as well as the leader themselves, so that they can find ways to understand, why didn't that work? Or what am I doing that's not being effective here, and can shift a perspective and open up that awareness. So specifically, when we look through the report, and I'm hoping that you're seeing what I'm seeing here on my screen. The first, it's going to give you, you know, sort of the lay of the land so that you understand what the report contains. Then when we go down through to the page that has the results for the total person, it's very similar to what you've seen before in the PXT or the profile sales assessment overview, in terms of the low to high ranges. So captures that for you in this report, as well as the interest. But now what we start to see is language around what that means. So for the learning index, this person, Sally Sample, scored moderately high on the learning index. And it's going to talk about the value of that, because the person's going to assimilate information quickly. As it says here, she assimilates various types of information to arrive at conclusions, affording her an adaptive style of decision-making suited for many different types of situations. Awesome, right? But we're also going to find out that where that can create challenges, and it's mostly in how the communication style can be perhaps more complex than, say, somebody who scores lower. So trying to manage that perspective with the individual, often we want the scores to be high like it is here, but that doesn't mean it's going to be perfect in every situation. What's really interesting to me, I'm going to scroll back up here to this view. The scores that are reflected here in this sample report, Sally sample, they're actually quite common for what we would want in a leader. The moderate to high energy, high assertiveness, high decisive, high independence, low accommodating, those are all very, very typical results that we would see for a leader, for an innovator, entrepreneur. But that doesn't mean that the person is going to be completely effective in every situation or won't have challenges. And so that, again, is where this report is going to be highlighting those and bringing them out to build a greater understanding for everybody involved. So when back on the page with the learning index where I was a second ago, the format of this report will take you through an explanation of description of what this means. But specifically highlighting the strengths and challenges, almost like quick view so you can dig in, excuse me, and understand that more clearly. And that's going to be for each one of the three main areas that we measure, remembering the learning index, behavioral traits, and interest. Excuse me. So for instance, on energy level, what does this mean? And that's reflected in this text here. And then what are the strengths and the challenges? I'm not going to read all this to you. You'll be happy to hear that, I'm sure. But I wanted to show you the depth of information that's included. When we look at assertiveness, for example, Sally is very high here. And as a leader, you know, the assertiveness scale has correlations to competitiveness and take charge, being proactive, direct, wanting results, all those things that we want in a leader, right? But that corresponding challenge for somebody who's so high in this area is perhaps being overbearing and working with somebody in her team who may be more timid. I think that was one of the words here. End of the first paragraph, it is also possible that individuals who are less assertive may be intimidated by her forceful approach, discouraging their sharing useful perspectives on solving problems. So again, helping Sally see where she might be just being or bringing a style that's not conducive for everybody to move forward with comfortably. And we know when people feel stressed or intimidated or not part of the conversation, that doesn't allow for the best outcomes. So this will help Sally understand where she might be too overbearing in some cases. So again, the strengths and the challenges. Sociability, how does that impact leadership? Manageability, Sally is more prone to want to abide by the policies and structures. And so how does that feed into how she's making decisions around her team and her leadership? Attitude, on the low side, so a more skeptical approach. And as you can imagine, that that can lead to some unknown views. For instance, if Sally's team always sees her questioning and not trusting, it may lead them to have a different impression of what her true motives are or her just natural style. It's really important for Sally to understand that about herself. Decisiveness, very high in decisiveness, quick decision maker. Her decisive nature allows for decisions to be made in a timely manner when timelines are pressing. I'm sorry, and expediency is paramount. Some managers are often, you know, we want a leader to take charge and to feel comfortable moving forward with the decision and taking some risk, having some comfort in taking those risks. But as you can see in the next line, there's the caveat of she could seem as if she jumps to conclusions too quickly. So again, helping Sally and her manager understand where these areas can be problematic and beneficial. There's always both sides to the coin. So looking at strengths and challenges, continuing on to accommodating, she's moderately low on accommodating. And what does that mean for her ability to be a team player and cooperative? The next one is independence. She's very independent. Looking at, you know, a type of very self-directed approach, many, many people want that and need that. Again, can lead some to some potential challenges. And then the last of the behavioral traits is objective judgment, where she's scoring low. So really she's intuitive and reading between the lines. And it talks through here what that means. What are the strengths and the challenges? As you may know, we measure 6 interest. And so that's the last section of the areas that we measure, not the last section of the report, but you can see by the yellow or gold circles here, enterprising, people service, and creative are Sally's focus. And so the report walks through what that means to her leadership style. And then we get to an interesting component of the report where it talks through 6 main areas that result from the behavioral traits that we're measuring. And they're pertinent to the things that we think of for a leader. So innovating strategic initiatives. I mean, part of a leadership's role is all about the strategy, the big picture. How do we move forward with the innovation and take initiative in those areas? And so looking at Sally's results, this section is going to help us understand Sally's approach there. How does she maximize resources? How is she looking at her staff? How is she tapping into their value and effectiveness? Utilizing organizational synergies, producing quality results, mentoring others, and maintaining high personal standards. So in each one of these areas, it's going to dig in deeper to those key leadership objectives and focus areas and help see how those are going to be coming to bear for Sally. So again, this has a ton of information that is really important for somebody who's going into a leadership role or somebody that you want to help mentor into a leadership role. Information is so valuable for all of us to help get the person to where we want them to be. So love, love, love this leadership approach report. Really helpful. Okay, so the next one is the managerial fit. So I did these in order because I'm going from the individual. I feel like we can make the most progress when we have a clear understanding of ourselves first. And that's what the leadership approach report does. Next, we put that in context with an individual that we're managing, so one-on-one. So this report is, again, as you see here, it's for the manager. It says manager report. Could share this with an individual. It's not intended to. It depends on the relationship and the situation. I've seen it happen both ways. I have used this report in a couple of different clients' situations before. Again, these reports have been available, just not widely used. I hope that now that they're no charge and immediately available to you upon the completion of both, in this case, the manager and the employee, you can run this report. So anyway, it's really intended for the manager to use. And what this is going to do, it's either for a candidate or an employee. I mean, you can read the report, for instance, if you're looking to hire someone and you have the candidate take the assessment, you can run this report, even though they're not hired yet. But what this helps you do is look at, okay, this is what it will be likely like to manage this person, to give you more of an understanding, is this is going to work for both parties, right? So the report is written as if they're on board, but you can read it beforehand to give you that heads up. And so it has these sections. It's going to give you the summary of the profile results, a graph of that. It's going to talk about ways to work together and some specific action steps. So as I scroll through, the first place is, again, you as the manager, right? We want to focus on the individual. This report is written for the manager. So let's look at who you are. For instance, in this particular, who are the names here? Sam is the manager, Sally is the employee. So Sam prefers conservative, carefully considered decisions, unassertive individual, accepts guidance, expresses guarded optimism, prefers supervisor or support person who closely monitors your work, etc. It's going to talk through an overview of you as the manager. And then the next section is going to talk about the overview as the employee, so you can get a good sense right away of the two individuals. And then we're going to see that summary graph, again, similar to the other reports where you are looking at the traits from low to high. Always keeping in mind, low is not bad. Low can be preferable, actually, but sometimes high is better, sometimes low is better. It's not good or bad. It's looking to what, how are we, in this report, we're really looking at the dynamics between the two people. Sometimes if we see the scores closely aligned, you know, the likelihood is that that will be a fit from the perspective of things are, the two people are like-minded and often see things in a similar way. But have to be careful there, because there can be an opportunity for not having a component be as prevalent or needed in a work decision or situation. And then also when we see, for instance, on self-reliance, where there's a difference here between the manager who is low in that area and the employee that's higher, that often, the difference can often be beneficial because we have a balance, but it's usually a point of friction too. And continuing with that particular example where self-reliance is low, remember in the summary where we heard that the manager himself, Sam, welcomes guidance and direction. So he might be more of a micromanager. He might be more of somebody who comes in and has a greater desire or need to have a oversight on the employee, because that's the way he wants to be managed. But as you see, Sally's moderately high, and so she wants to work kind of independently. And so that can create some conflict if both aren't aware of that kind of dynamic. So seeing this in the graph of how closely aligned or how far apart they are is a really helpful place to start. Now the third section of the report is then going to take each one of those areas and dig down so that the manager can see, what does this mean when I'm low and Sally's moderately low? It's going to talk through each of those areas. As you can see, this assurance, self-reliance, conformity. So here's an interesting one where Sam, the manager, is moderately high, so he is more prone to want the process and procedure and the structure. Sally's pretty low there, and she's going to be more of like, we don't need to worry about that policy. And so you can imagine in the report here, it says, while the report's written for Sam, the manager, keeping in mind, while you tend to be more compliant to policies and procedures than Sally, the difference should be complementary as long as you maintain open and clear communications. You should each be able to look to the other for examples of moving your conformity levels towards a more moderate standpoint. Love that, because it's really blending, right? Sometimes Sam's need for process is going to be more appropriate for a particular situation than Sally's and vice versa. So when you can have that open communication and talk about it, you come to without the judgment about which is better. Neither one of these is better or worse. It's a matter of what's better or worse for the situation. And so when we can drop that impression of we have to always follow the process versus we don't need to follow the process, but look to what's the situation demand by that open communication, then Sam and Sally are going to come up with the best answer. And they're not going to leave stressed by feeling like, well, she makes me crazy because she doesn't follow the rules here. You don't have that level of conversation. You have a more objective and value added discussion versus clinging on to the way that you feel most comfortable or that you want to do it. So just a great way to think about this data as well. So optimism, decisiveness, this is a really important one that comes into play. How much data we need, how much time, how much risk, and that can really get warped when we're having, you know, differences of opinion about that with our employee. So again, seeing how close or not close you are can be really helpful. Objectivity, and then the final one, approach to learning. And then the last section of the report is going to talk about some action steps that you can take. I just feel like the relationship between manager and employee in the workplace is so critical to get right. It just drives our satisfaction and enjoyment of our day. And by looking at this kind of information and working through it together, it accomplishes a lot. So this report has tremendous value for both the manager and the employee, even though it's designed for just the manager to read, but both benefit from this information. So we have one more report I want to review. I don't see any questions or chats coming in. Hopefully you're just as enamored by all these reports as I am. So the team report is the final report that I wanted to talk through. And let me go back up to the cover page. So recapping, remember I started with a leadership approach report because that was one individual. Then we went to the managerial fit report, which was the manager and the employee. Now we're going to look at a larger team. This particular report, the sample team only has three people. So you could have a report with three people. You could have a report with many more. I honestly don't know. I haven't hit a cap yet, so don't think that will be an issue. But I've run a lot of these with 10 and 12 people, which is more of a typical type of team size. But again, just for purposes of illustration, this particular team has three. And what you'll see here is on the first sort of view of the team is a graphic illustration. The red dot is illustrating Sally, the team member. And then the other two people are noted by a number. So Sarah is number two. Wally is number three. So as you look at the chart, you can see, you can go back up and refer to which number reflects which person. And then you can see the distribution again from low to high of these 12 traits that relate to how the team is going to interact together. And obviously you're going to see some trends because of the things that we're measuring. And going back to the Profile XT and the Profile Sales Assessment, which have 20 scales in total, those scales were purposely selected because of their application in the workforce. There are tons of things we can measure about an individual, right? But when the tool was designed and developed based on research and focus groups, they honed in on those areas that had the greatest relevance to job performance. It carries over from the individual to their fit to the job. It carries over to how they lead. It carries over to how they're interacting with the individual, and now how we are operating in a team environment. I don't know of any organization that doesn't have multiple teams that are working together. It could be within a department or cross-functional, but teams are huge and getting even more and more important to how we operate. So we're looking at these scales and how the team is balanced. Now, what's really helpful here is to look at, for instance, there's actually several good examples, but let's say energy. A lot of high energy on this team, right? Everybody falls moderate to high. So probably a really good thing, because things will keep moving. There'll be a lot of activity. People can manage a lot of things at once. All really great things. But if you remember the value of people who score on the low side of energy level, they finish things. They have a focus. They like to sort of dig in and have closure to a project. So if you have a team that's really high on energy, that team needs to be aware of that, because if they, for instance, get to, like, for them, less exciting or more routine or kind of dull piece of the project that doesn't have that same excitement, restlessness, and energy about it, they might start another project or start another aspect of the project before they have brought an important piece of the existing one to closure. So what I'm saying is that this can be a very helpful perspective of what is missing from the team. So it gives that team the opportunity to say, we need to focus here, because as a general way of operating, we don't tend to do that. So another way to bring value to this whole idea of team. Another quick example on this bottom scale, objective judgment. So again, the very intuitive, emotional, intelligence side of the aspect. Nobody on this team is focusing quickly or naturally anyway. I mean, it doesn't mean that there will not be any visibility to the high end, but it's not going to come as quickly or as easily. So the high side, of course, is more fact-based. What's the data here? So this team that's led by Sally with Sarah and Wally, all three of them are all about how things feel and the emotions of it. Not as prone to say, what are the facts here? What's the data? Seeing this in black and white helps this team say, okay, on any particular next step or deliverable, have we thought about the data in a way that we should have? So looking at the balance of these attributes is very important. So then each of these scales that we just saw is going to have more language around helping the team identify how they're interacting together. And you can see the little triangle here, orange triangle with the exclamation point in it. That's going to be pointing out a place where there's more than a stand apart. So you can be alerted to any potential areas of problem because of that big difference. Sometimes, again, that can be valuable because you've got the balance, but the reason why it's highlighted is because it's often going to reflect a point of contention or friction or stress based on that. Doesn't mean it can't be a good thing in the long run, but might be problematic in the short run. Okay, so you'll see again, each of these sections are going to have this kind of information. Energy level, we noted earlier, was all high, so they have to be mindful of making sure that they, well, it says right here, consider coaching these team members on how to pace themselves and how to make productive use of the occasional lull in the pace of work to prevent them from becoming distracted or disinterested. So really helpful. Assertiveness, the Sally was the manager of this team, the leader of the team. She scores really high in assertiveness. So she's got two team members that are much lower, and that in order for her to get the best out of this team, the most effective results, she will definitely have to moderate that some. And this helps her understand how to do that and the importance of it. Everybody's similar to sociability scale. Manageability, some differences there. It'll talk through how to work through that. Attitude, again, decisiveness, similar to the assertiveness scale where Sally is high on decisiveness. She is going to be ready to move right through some of these decisions. And the other two, Wally and Sarah, are going to be more like, whoa, you know, we need more time. And that can be very frustrating for both of them, right? Sally's going to be like, we just need to move on. But if she doesn't bring them along at the right pace, there can start to be some dissension and frustration. So looking at how to make sure to manage that is key. Accommodating, everybody's kind of low. Independence, more of a difference here. So the report talks through how to work through that. And I mentioned earlier when we were looking at the chart that everybody scores low on objective judgment. So just talks through there how to work through that. And then the last section is action steps. So you can put this to benefit. So those are the three reports. And I am going to come over here. Still no chats. So you guys are quiet group today. That's all right. It's a little, let's see, it's about 11:40, and since we don't have any other questions, I'm just looking at my notes, see if there's anything else I wanted to share about the reports or anything. I think I'm good. So if you're good, one last shout out. For questions, as I said, I'm trying out this new platform here for the video. I felt like it might be a little bit more engaging to have the video on. But when I set it up, I set it up so that any attendees would not be videotaped because I didn't want to put you guys on the spot to feel like you had to do that. That was my plan there. And then earlier at the top of the hour, I mentioned that these round robins, I scheduled out for the whole year to be on Tuesdays, the second Tuesday of the month at 11 o'clock Eastern time. And then afterwards, a very important conference came up for next month on May 10th, which is the second Tuesday. And I am going to be attending that conference. So I'm switching the round robin to Monday, May 9th at the same time, 11 o'clock Eastern. That will obviously go out in the updates, and I'll make sure everybody's aware that if you're in New Hampshire interested, I highly recommend you check out this conference. I've been going for probably the last 5, maybe 6 years. It's one of my favorite events of the year. One of my two favorite, the other event is the Best Companies to Work For, which is also co-hosted by New Hampshire Businesses for Social Responsibility, which is the conference I'm going to. And the organization is really designed to build a community of businesses and nonprofits, organizations of all nature, that focus on the environment, but equal focus is on best practices around people. So people, planet, and profits, understanding that when we look at all the stakeholders involved in an organization, it benefits the organization even more than you might think. One of their mottos you probably heard others talk about, doing well by doing good. And so when I first heard about the organization, I felt like these members have a mindset that I believe in, which is helping people do their best, looking out for our greater global community is a way to have the very best business that we can have. So obviously, like I said, I'll be attending that conference. So the next round robin is Monday, May 9th. You can send in your questions beforehand, or you can send them in here, which I encourage you to do that. Be thinking of things that are top of mind for you and your business and managing and working with your employees and how we together can help you think of ways to sort through that. I'd love to do that. Okay, I think that's it. So until next time, here's to your graceful leadership.